It wasn't just Andrew Benintendi today. It was JD Martinez, who has gotten hot.
That ball is gone! What a bullet by Devers!
I love to see the exit velocity on that one.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of the TC and Jerry podcast as we close in on opening day. Tom Karen with you here at Nesson as we are getting ready for Boston Red Sox baseball on Nesson. Opening day, now just 3 days away as we record this. Friday, it'll be the Red Sox and Orioles opening up the short 2020 campaign. Nathan Eovaldi will get the ball as the opening night starter for the Red Sox, a 7:30 first pitch at Fenway Park. Now, Nesson tuning up for opening night with a couple of exhibition games this week. We brought you the games against Toronto Tuesday and Wednesday. First time the Red Sox have faced an actual other team since March 11th when they beat the Tampa Bay Rays in Florida by a 3-1 score. Eduardo Rodriguez struck out 10 in 4 scoreless innings. Now he's trying to come back from a battle with the coronavirus, testing positive for COVID-19 and dealing with some nasty symptoms. Meantime, all of us at Nesson getting ready for the new normal, at least for this 2020 baseball season, and that includes Jerry Remy. The Rem Dog is certainly ready to call some baseball, even if he's doing it here in studio and watching it on TV just like you. Jerry Remy, how ready are you to actually call a game with two different teams playing each other?
Well, I'll be in there about half hour. I'll be ready for tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. You know, and like Brennicky said, you know, you get tired of these inner squad games. But players, there's really nothing worse than that because, you know, you're playing against guys, you know, your teammates. You don't want to do anything that's out of hand. And you just want other competition. So after the number of games, which they played a lot of these inner squad games, you know, they finally get a chance to play against a team from Toronto or wherever they're from. We don't know where they're from now. But it's going to be a nice change, and I think it gives everybody a little bit of extra zip before they get into that game on Friday against Baltimore. So we're all looking forward to it. I know you're looking forward to it tomorrow. We get a dress rehearsal to go, and it'll be a fun couple of days before opening day.
Yeah, we've been back in studio for a couple of weeks now doing this show, and you and Dave O'Brien came in on Friday and did that game that streamed on the Internet. So a little bit of a test run. How'd it feel for you?
Good. It was really good. You know, I got to give Nesson a lot of credit. They've done a great job giving us a nice control center there to work with. And tomorrow we'll obviously have, it'll be a different situation because we'll have our own cameras out there at Fenway Park. So it'll look very much like a real game, which I'm looking forward to. And that'll help us also on getting accustomed to what we're going to be seeing during the course of a game. So, you know, I couldn't be happy with the way things have gone. You know, They've really gone above and beyond with the, you know, the social distancing and all the cleaning and all of everything that they've done here. So it makes for a nice, comfortable environment to go in and do games. But, you know, now we're just looking for some games. We want some games to do and games that mean something.
And we want the games to keep going. But let's talk baseball for a moment, Jerry, before we let you go. I try to look at this season for the Red Sox, and I find it almost impossible to predict what they're going to do. Do you have any idea what this Red Sox team is going to be like over 60 games?
No, I really don't. You know, I know they're going to score runs. I mean, when you look at the offense, they're going to score a lot of runs. But I worry a lot about the pitching, obviously, as everybody does. And, you know, I've said this all along. I think they're going to have to really have a very strong bullpen, especially in the early going. And what is the early going? It's good, you know, probably the first 20 games, 25 games. I would call that the early going in a 60-game season. And the bullpen, to me, is going to have to be really, really strong for them because, you know, with E-Rod just coming back, who knows when he's going to be ready. You've got Eovaldi as your main guy, and after that, you've got a bunch of question marks. So I think, a lot of the burden is really going to fall on the bullpen, and I think they have to be really strong. They've got to get some guys come out and pitch, you know, maybe 2 innings per game. And, of course, Workman's going to get himself straightened out to be able to close out games for him. So he's had kind of a rough, you know, inter-squad season, and now we'll see how he does once the Blue Jays come in town and once, of course, the Orioles come in town for the real stuff. So, you know, I would expect him to get straightened out, but to me, it all comes down to that. You know, them scoring a lot of runs and getting very good work out of their bullpen.
Yeah, you talk about that bullpen, Jerry. We've heard other teams sort of say they're going to tweak their pitching philosophy, because it is such a short season. Some teams have talked about four-man rotations where guys don't pitch as many innings each outing. For the Red Sox, they're not thinking about any of that. But they do have a pretty good bullpen from the past if guys live up to their past practices. Do you think they go to that bullpen more, because you can sort of put the pedal to the metal here over 2.5 months?
Oh, I think so. You know, they're not going to worry about burning people out, that's for sure, right? You know, in a 60-game season, you can't worry about stuff like that. I mean, there's going to be days that are going to come up that, you know, certain people are not going to be available, but that's not unusual from day one of the season. You know, the guy could come in the first day of a 162-game season and pitch four innings, and he's not available the next couple of days. That's going to happen. But, you know, they got to manage the pitching very well, and I think that's key for Ron Renicki, is how he handles his bullpen. It's going to be a very big challenge, I think, you know, moving forward. But, you know, everybody's in the same boat, really. You know, there are going to be very few teams out there that are going to have their starters be able to go 6-7 innings. It's just probably not going to happen right away. And I think it comes down to everybody really trusting, you know, a lot in on their bullpens. And Renicki knows that, and I think he's ready for it.
Well, just like everyone else, Jerry, the rest of us just don't know what to expect from this Red Sox team here in 2020. They've certainly got the offense. If you go back 2 years to the 2018 World Series championship team, not a lot of differences between that lineup and this lineup. Obviously, Mookie Betts, the big exception, one of the best players in the game, is gone. But a lot of the players are still here from that championship team. Not the case with the starting rotation. Chris Sale, gone for the season after Tommy John surgery. David Price, gone, traded to the L.A. Dodgers. Rick Porcello, gone, signed as a free agent to the New York Mets. And Eduardo Rodriguez, gone for now, as he was placed on the injured list after testing positive for COVID-19. E-Rod, after a 19-win season, would have been the opening night starter for the Red Sox, but he's not available, so that honor goes to Nathan Eovaldi. Eovaldi, coming off another injury-plagued season last year, missed about 3 months with the right elbow injury that just kind of lingered. They used him out of the bullpen before he finally tuned up with the start at the very end of the season. He has looked really good at camp. A lot of velocity, a new slider that is getting a lot of attention. Nathan Eovaldi joined me to talk about the honor of being the opening night starter for the Red Sox. Does that still sound pretty cool when somebody tells you you're the opening day starter?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, you think about it, it's like everybody wants to be that, you know, have an opportunity to have an opening day spot. So it's going to be my first one, so I'm definitely excited for it.
So much about this is strange, obviously, the way this is all coming together. You've had, well, we're nearly 3 weeks into this summer camp, if you want to call it that. Has it become more normal, these practices, these workouts, the empty ballpark, all of that? Has it started to seem a little more normal?
I mean, not really. It's still really weird being out there on the mound pitching and not having any fans out there. I mean, you look out and you're not seeing anybody. You got the music playing and stuff like that, but I don't know. Just having no fans in the stands is really weird for me right now.
So when you get ready for this now, you got the Baltimore Orioles, and, you know, that'll be different, right? You've been seeing your own hitters over and over here. You're going to get to see another team, yet still nobody in the stands, the piped-in music. Have you tried to think about what that'll be like to make it easier to sort of get beyond any of those strange distractions that'll be around it?
Yeah, so, I mean, like, the first time I started facing our guys, it was, you know, I had all that adrenaline pumping, and, you know, last night was a little different. It's like, we face our guys so many times and you know them well and things like that. But I think once you have another team in a different uniform out there, you're going to have that same adrenaline kick back in, and it'll just be going out there in time to compete.
Which one of your teammates are you most tired of facing?
I'm trying to think of who's hit me the best, I guess. Jackie, Vasquez. I'm tired of facing those guys.
It's so strange watching him as a reporter or anything, because, okay, somebody got a hit, that's good, but that means the pitcher gave up a hit and they're all on the same team. So it's kind of like there's always a good and bad to every moment, you know?
Exactly. We're winning and we're losing at the same time.
Take us through these last few months. I'll always remember that, you know, you were on the mound that Thursday. You had thrown at JetBlue Park and we all got the word that everything was stopping. What did you do when you first left? What did you do with that first month? How did you handle these 3-4 months away?
Yes. I mean, initially leaving, I think I stayed like a week before I ended up actually leaving Florida. When it came in through a couple bullpens like that, and then once they said like it's officially going to be shut down for, you know, I mean, it wasn't going to be anytime soon that we were going to be reopening. I think they had said, you know, we were going to try and open back up the 10th or 15th, but I mean, it seemed unrealistic. So, you know, my family was in Florida with me at the time, so we flew back to Texas, and you know, I kind of shut it down for like a solid month. Didn't play catch, just let my body recover. And once we got word saying that it was going to be, I think June 10th was going to be our initial try to start back up, that's when I started playing catch, like built in nice and easy. And once that time came around, like I was already built up around 5 or 6 innings. So
you were getting up to 5-6 innings at home.
Yeah. It was nice. I was able to throw to Connor Wong. He didn't live too far away from me, so I was able to throw to him. You know, we had a nice mound. Throwing one of the high schools close to both of us. It was actually my high school coach's brother is the head coach over there now. So it's, you know, he was making sure we were safe. Everybody was in good hands, things like that. I was able to throw to him, and we were had a dummy batter standing in there, but we were going balls and strikes, and if it was three outs, then we'd wait next inning, wait about 5-10 minutes, and just kind of keep going like that, have our ups and downs.
You've looked great since coming back. Do you think that time down can actually help you in a way? I mean, you come into this that much stronger than maybe you normally would at this point of a year?
Yeah, I think so. And again, I mean, I gave myself a decent amount of recovery time, just kind of hung out at the house. Like, I didn't completely shut it down from working out or anything, but just light catch and you know, not throwing every day. I think it definitely helps and helps settle down anything that was starting to get aggravated in any way. And I've been feeling really good right now, and my body's been responding the way I want it to.
I know you and the team have been real happy with the way the slider has looked here. Is that a pitch you got from somebody? How did you develop that? How do you bring a new pitch into the arsenal, and how did you start developing this particular slider?
Yeah, it was kind of funny, I guess. It was like maybe 10 days before we finally started back up, or when we, I don't know, it was early June, whenever I started throwing it, and I was trying to throw my cutter harder. I'd just taken a bucket of balls into the cage, and I was just trying to get that good extension on my cutter, and I started squeezing the ball a little harder, and it started, you know, it looked like a slider. I was like, all right, you know, we'll play with this. And I told Wong, I said, hey, I'm going to try and throw a slider. It might be a cutter, but, you know, we'll see what happens. He's like, yeah, just throw it to me. I'll try and catch it. So, I mean, and from there on, it's, you know, I've been able to get that consistent grip with it, and it's been feeling good.
And now you can use it pretty much any point in the count, right?
Yeah. I mean, Vasquez and I have been talking about it. It's nice just to have another reliable pitch where I can throw it any time in the count. It's been feeling really good to me. I've been able to throw it to lefties and righties both, so it gives me another weapon when I'm attacking. And, I mean, we're still throwing all the other pitches. It's just kind of picking which one's working the best at that moment and go with it. Last night, I feel like, was kind of a good example of just how my curveball and splitter weren't really working at the beginning of the game, so I relied more on the cutter and slider, and I was able to kind of find the curveball and splitter towards the end of the game, and I finished a lot stronger than I started.
Are you, the bullpens mean a lot to you? Like, do you feel you know, do you have to have the feel for something by the end of that bullpen before you take the mound, or does stuff kind of develop as you go?
I think things develop as they go. You know, I mean, you're still working, you know what you got to do. It's, you can't throw it, you know, three times in a row in at bat, especially if it's an off-speed pitch. So, all right, I try to work in between my starts, figure out what I need to work on, focus on that. You know, last night I felt like I was a little too quick to the plate. So, again, it's just a timing issue for me. And go out there and be ready to go the next time.
All right, well, you finally get to see somebody other than one of your teammates at the plate this Friday. We're looking forward to it. I'm sure you are. Good luck Friday. Good luck this season. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll see what Eovaldi can do on opening night as he faces the Orioles. So much unpredictability surrounding this season, which is why it's so hard to see what the Red Sox would do or try to say what you think they will do as they battle for a playoff spot. Because players over the course of a 162-game season go on great runs and ice-cold skids that can last 30, 40, 50 games, or yes, even 60 games. Jackie Bradley Jr. has certainly seen both the highs and the lows of those streaks and those skids. You can take months or 6 weeks of a Jackie Bradley Jr. season, and he can be one of the best hitters in the game. You can also look at a 4-5-6 week stretch for Jackie Bradley Jr., and he is literally one of the worst hitters in the game. So what will it be in this 60-game sprint of 2020? Who knows? The Red Sox are hoping it's something like the 38-game stretch last year, May into July, when he hit 328 with a 1057 OPS. It's going to be a lot of uncertainty for the Red Sox and certainly a lot of strangeness for Bradley, who is going to be a free agent at the end of the season for the first time in his career. That pending free agency will be looming over every game and at bat. People will talk about it. Also looming over the Bradley family is the pending birth of their second child. It's a boy. And yes, it will be JB3. JBJ, join me to talk about all of it. Jackie, congratulations. With everything that's been going on in the world and you getting ready to come back here for baseball, can you tell us about the range of emotions you and your family have been going through this joyous time, but with everything else happening in the world?
Yeah, obviously you want to have empathy, and it's been a pretty special time for us. We found out that, you know, we are going to be expecting a baby boy. We're excited to be able to add on to our family. We're overjoyed. We got a lot of emotion, but overall, we're just excited for the opportunity to be able to raise our next child.
And I'm assuming Em is ready to be a big sister, right? She's probably got this down already.
Very much so. She already mentioned to her mother how we already have too much girl stuff. We need to go buy some boy stuff. So I think she's more excited than we are as the parents.
You know, it's been so different. We've talked to guys over the last couple of weeks. Normally, the family packs up, right, gets ready to move north when spring training breaks. For you to come north alone while they're dealing with this back there, how emotional has it been? How different is it? Was it a difficult decision? Did you ever consider not playing because of what was going on?
It's different. This is unprecedented times. It's one of those things where you're definitely weighing all your options, what's best for my family, myself. And, you know, it's one of those things where the pros outweighed the cons for me. So I felt like that was going to be an incentive for me to be able to, you know, come back here and you know, support my family. I feel like that's very important. And, you know, I'll be able to, you know, hopefully see them at some point during the season. But you know, I felt like it was in my best interest to play this year.
And obviously we've seen some players opt out, and I think contract status plays into it for a lot of guys, right? Guys who are locked up. David Price has security. You have pending free agency. That would be different for you to begin with, but with that looming on a 60 game sprint, this has all got to be very different for you, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, you gotta take everything into consideration. This is something that you know, it's gonna make a difference. So like I said, I felt like it was, you know, a pro for me to be able to play this year. And it's gonna be interesting. I'm not sure how it's gonna go, but like I said, I'm excited for the opportunities and the things that, you know, we have ahead.
You know, I learned a few years ago not to ask you about trade rumors because they were always out there, and you're a professional. You've always been very upfront about how you can block out all of that. With free agency pending, is it even more challenging to block that all out because this is such a short season, or have you sort of put that where it belongs and been able to get about your business?
No, I don't think it's that challenging, because I think it goes back to, you know, I have a job to do, obviously, and you know, my main focus is winning. You know, I gotta do everything I possibly can to win, and kind of let all that stuff kind of take care of itself. It's not like the free agency is at this exact moment for me, so I don't have to put it at the forefront of my mind or focus on it. Obviously, I want to succeed and do the best I can, and kind of let the chips fall where they may. But ultimately, it comes down to performing and going out there and doing everything I possibly can to help my team win.
I don't know what we can glean watching from the fifth floor of these red-blue scrimmages, but you look locked in. How do you feel, and how do you compare that to where you normally feel you need to be at the end of a spring training?
I feel great. I feel healthy. I made sure I continue to work during the whole so-called shutdown. But, you know, I think everybody's, you know, kind of still ramping back up. We got a few more days left. And ultimately, I feel pretty good. And yeah, I look forward to this season. I know it's going to be exciting times for not only us as the players, the staff, organization, but across the nation to be able to get sports back. It's going to be pretty cool.
Jackie, you've used your platform to be a voice in support of some of what's been going on in this country, the social unrest of the last few weeks. Baseball down below 8% black players in the majors right now. We've all said we need to be better. We need to try to be better. What can baseball do? What can we all do to make this a more inclusive sport, a more inclusive game?
Ultimately, I think it just comes down to having an open line of communication, being able to, you know, to speak, but not only speak, but also to listen, to hear what others have to say, and, you know, working together. You know, this is a pretty tight-knit community. Is almost like a brotherhood, and you know, we can become pretty strong together. So just making sure that, you know, we try to do things on one accord and kind of go from there.
You know, Boston obviously is a very passionate baseball fan base. They won't be there when this begins, or probably at all this season, but you know how fans feel about this team. What do you say to the fans who maybe won't get to show you that love and affection in person, but you know they'll be watching from afar? What do you say to those fans waiting for baseball to get started?
We obviously wish you could be here. We for sure want you to be safe. You know, we greatly appreciate your support. And let's continue to make this game great. And, you know, hopefully we can pull out the win for you.
Got to ask you finally, has a name been chosen yet? Are we going to have Jackie Bradley III? Has that been decided?
Bingo.
There you go. All right. We look forward
to it.
We'll
have a nickname for him, though. But
JBJ3 works pretty well, though. That's not bad. Okay. Hey, congratulations to all the family. Good luck with the season. We can't wait to see you play.
Thanks, TC. Appreciate you.
So the Blue Jays in town for two games this week. These exhibition games usually wouldn't be a big deal, but all we've watched for the last 3 weeks is the Red Sox playing the Red Sox. And whenever somebody gets a hit, you're excited about the offense, but then you stop and realize that was a Red Sox pitcher giving up the hit. So now you can start to gauge them at least for a couple nights here this week against another opponent before things matter on Friday. Now, we won't see Toronto in the regular season for a little bit, but we saw them this week. They are opening on the road after these exhibition games, and that's a good thing because they can't go home, as I'm sure you know by now. After the city and the province approved the plan for baseball to be played in Toronto, the federal government of Canada said no. They would not allow baseball players to bypass the 14-day quarantine. So the Blue Jays are a team without a home. A lot of rumors as to where they will play those games. And former NESN anchor and current Sportsnet Blue Jays reporter Hazel May joined me to talk about what it's like up in Toronto and what it'll be like for the fans up there to watch the Blue Jays play their games across America. The legendary Hazel May joins me from north of the border. How are you, Hazel?
I'm great, legendary TC. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. All right, so where do they end up? Where do the Blue Jays call home this year?
You know, that's the $64,000 question. General Manager Ross Atkins addressed the media on Monday for the first time since the government decision went down. And he was a little vague, although he did say that there were five solid contingency plans. Now, what we're hearing, my colleague from the Toronto Sun, is PNC Park. Pittsburgh is up there, followed by Baltimore. And that's according to my Sportsnet.ca colleague, Ben Nicholson-Smith. Now, the options are not great. as far as minor league fields. Of course, Buffalo, just 2-hour drive from Toronto. That's where the taxi squad was supposed to be if they were granted permission to stay here at Rogers Center. But Buffalo, as you know, a beautiful minor league facility, but not up to MLB standards, particularly the lighting and the space issue. Then there was talk of Dunedin, of course. They already went through a renovation. They've upgraded their lighting to MLB standards, but if you've been following the news in Florida, from a health standpoint, there are challenges. So right now, it looks like PNC Park, followed by Baltimore. They both have minimal schedule conflicts, TC. PNC Park, mere steps away from hotel, so that might be, you know, good accommodations for the players. At Baltimore, this was interesting. I heard that they were looking at the famed warehouse in right field as maybe a place to temporarily set up clubhouses and other player facilities. So they should know soon. I don't know if they know right now and just not telling us, but we spoke to Blue Jays player rep Matt Shoemaker this morning, and he says they do not know yet. So they might be pulling up in your backyard.
So how are they handling this? I mean, we've heard the quotes, right? Two bags, one for home, one for the road. I don't know where the home bag is going. Like, how are the players dealing with this?
Yeah. Well, as you can imagine, it's frustrating. A lot of the players were telling me that, you know, for almost 3 weeks, they couldn't see their families. So a few of them already joked that when they landed in Boston, it was nice to, you know, walk among the free. But from a, you know, mental standpoint, it's been challenging to prepare for a season. Guys are telling me, though, that if there was an advantage to being holed up at Rogers Center, where they were, you know, opening the roof earlier than normal just to give the guys a little bit of sunshine. They created two makeshift outdoor patios, a restricted area for guys to be able to, you know, grab a book, sit outside, you know, socially distance, but get some face time. The one good thing that both Travis Shaw and Joe Panik, the two quote-unquote veterans on a very young Blue Jays team, said that it created this bonding experience for these guys. And if you think that chemistry and camaraderie are going to translate into success, they did a lot of it. So if there's, you know, good or positive to come out of being quarantine at the Rogers Center, it's they got to know each other a little bit more, particularly the new guys on the team.
It's all so strange, but everything in 2020 is strange. Hey, you got 12 NHL teams up there, okay? So you've got plenty of teams in Toronto. Hazel, great to see you, even if we can't see you in person. Yeah. Thanks for dropping by. Always great to catch up with Hazel, certainly one of the more popular personalities we've had here at NESN over the years and still doing such a great job covering baseball up in Toronto. Looking forward to seeing her down the road when the Red Sox play the Pittsburgh Blue Jays or whatever they will be. And looking forward to some real baseball. It's coming Friday. Our pregame coverage at 6 o'clock. There actually will be on-field opening night ceremonies, even though there won't be fans in the stands. We will bring it all to you because that's why they're playing these games. So you can sit back and maybe get a couple few hours, a few nights a week of some normalcy as you watch some baseball. The Major League Baseball season is here, and we'll see what the Red Sox can do. We'll be back to our normal format next week. Jerry and I will get you caught up on what's going on after they play the series with the Orioles at Fenway, then two at home against the Mets, two on the road against the Mets before they go to the Bronx and face the Yankees for the first time. We'll have plenty to talk about next week. Hope you can join us then. For now, thanks for checking out this edition of the TC and Jerry podcast. I'm Tom Jones. We'll see you again next time.